happened to three again, what? Follow him, look us down the hill, we've seen surely goodness and mercy.
Question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, but thine will? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. Oh, I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles till they're won for who?
Well, it is so good to be back here at Morehead City. And I always love to come because we always come down here in August and it's always hot. I know y'all are used to that hot weather and we like the mountain weather really, but we come down here in the summertime. And yesterday I took my wife out to the Crab Claw out there on Atlantic Beach. She's going to have a birthday next month, and tomorrow she is flying out, going to Illinois. Her father died about a month ago. Her mother's 92 years old and can't stay at home by herself, and Mary's the baby of 6 kids. We all live in different states, from Idaho to Florida, and so we're all taking our turns. So Mary's going to be gone all the way through October, and I'll be on the road by myself. So I have to stay in good with my wife, amen? We've been married for 40 years. By the way, my mother and father-in-law, they had been married for 73 years when Grandpa died. And one day I asked my father-in-law, I said, what is the key to staying married 73 years? Oh, hi up there, folks. How y'all doing? He said, the way you stay married 73 years is you both have to stay alive. And so I really do honor my father and mother-in-law for those years of being married and staying together and being a good example. This church has been good to Harvest. I'm just going to jump right in here at the very beginning. Y'all started giving to Harvest back in October of 2002. And since October of 2002, this church, First Free Will Baptist Church in Morehead City, are you ready for this, Brother James? Your church has given $50,090.53 to Harvest Child Care Ministry. Amen. It was back in 1992. It was at a church just like this that we had children that were coming to church on the church buses. And the children that were coming to church were malnourished, had poor clothing. They was a small group of people that had a burden to do something about that. So in August of 1993, 28 years now, we've been serving abandoned, abused, neglected, and troubled children. We have now served over 2,000 abandoned, abused, neglected, troubled children. Let's see if this is going to work, brother. Help me out. I hit the button right?
You did. You did everything right. It's my fault.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why, so he's going to have to run it for you.
Okay, that's all right. Where you at, buddy? When I do this, we go to the next frame, okay? We have a philosophy at Harvest, and our philosophy is this. We believe that every child is precious. We believe that every child is a gift of God, and we believe that every child deserves to have a Christian home. We're not their biological parents, but we provide a safe and a secure home where Jesus Christ is exalted and where our kids can know what a Christian home is all about. We are located in Lee County, Virginia. How many has been in Lee County, Virginia? It's way down there in the southwest tip of the state. Brother, you came over from Cruz, Virginia. But anyway, you cross the line, you're in Kentucky, you cross the line, you're in Tennessee, and we're located in a little community called Stickleyville. Anybody been to Stickleyville, Virginia? You ever been there, Brother James? You know why it's called Stickleyville? It's out in the sticks. But we are happy to be there, and when children come to Harvest, we have a 36-acre campus, and when they come to Harvest, they are first brought into our emergency assessment shelter. We can house 22 children in our shelter, 11 boys and 11 girls. We have a 24-hour wake staff. We have security alarm system. We have cameras that monitor both the children and the staff. The first thing we do in the shelter is we give them a complete physical examination. We give them Christian psychological evaluation. And then we closely watch them for observe them for 45 to 90 days. At the end of the assessment, there's a profile that's given to the parent or legal guardian. So a decision then can be made as to where to best place that child. Welcome to our boys' cottage called the Ruby Dobson Cottage. That's a strange name for a boys' cottage, but Miss Ruby Dobson many years ago gave us a large sum of money. That's how she got the cottage named after her. With that large sum of money, she gave us a cockatiel. The cockatiel's name is Sunshine. And we have 10 boys living in this house. 10 boys, brother. And I'm telling you right now, there's never a dull moment when you got 10 boys in a house. And we do allow the boys and girls to have pets. Along with the cockatiel, we have a Siberian Husky. We got a couple ferrets, we got a couple gerbils, we've got an aquarium full of fish. And the reason that we allow the boys and girls to have pets is we want to teach them personal responsibility. Yes, we allow them to give the dog a bath, clean the bird cage, clean the aquarium, feed the fish. But I grew up with four brothers, and I can tell you how boys are. One minute, we're punching each other out, and the next minute, we're out playing basketball like nothing ever happened. That's the way boys are. But next slide. Welcome to our girls' cottage. Girls are different. Amen. We have eight beautiful young ladies in our girls' cottage, ranging from age 5 to 18 years old. And most of the time when my wife and I go up there, we go up there about every 3 or 4 months. We have staff meetings. We get to talk to the kids. They normally put us in the girls' cottage. And when we leave there, my wife will say, "Whew, that is steroids." What is it? Drama on steroids. And you know what? When you got 8 girls living in one house, there is a lot of drama. But we're thankful for our cottage parents that do a great job of role modeling of what Christian parents are all about. When kids come to Harvest, most of our kids are behind academically, and we work with the Lee County Public School System. We work with the Scott County Public School System. We have private tutoring in the afternoon. We want to see our kids graduate from high school. Some go into military. Some take jobs. Some go to community college. But we want to see our kids move forward in their lives. And so we do really work with them on their education. When they begin to grow in their learning, they begin to acquire the confidence that they need. You know what every kid needs? Every kid needs confidence to move forward. That's what we want to see with our children. We're not a perfect family. You haven't figured it out yet. If you support us and you think that we're a perfect family, I'm sorry, we're not a perfect family. Brother James, I've not found a perfect family yet. But I can tell you what every family needs. Every family, and here's the Harvest family right here. We're not perfect, but every family needs love. And every family needs structure. Now, what do you mean by structure? Well, when our kids get up in the morning, they have to make their beds. When our kids come down in the morning, they have to, after breakfast, one of them's sweeping the floor, one of them's wiping off the table, one of them's putting away dishes. You see, children aren't just born with an innate desire to do these menial things, but we require them to clean the toilet. You can tell he's enjoying that. No, the truth is, we don't enjoy doing some of those things, but when our kids when they have those responsibilities, they learn respect and they learn to take care of those jobs and do them well, and then they begin to show that confidence that every child needs to have. Now, we like to take our kids out and do some fun things, but since the pandemic hit, we have really been on lockdown. Now, what does that mean? We've not been allowing any guests to come onto our campus. We've not been allowing our kids to go anywhere off campus except the church, although we got to take them down to North Myrtle Beach last month for their annual vacation. We have that place down there called the Chapel by the Sea, and every year they allow us to bring the kids down for a week. Last year we took them, but they couldn't go off. They couldn't eat in any restaurants. They were just right there, and they got to go out on the beach in the evening. But this year they got to go and enjoy a week of vacation, so we're very proud of that. Because our kids have been on lockdown and right there all day 24/7, our cottage parents have had to be very creative in keeping our kids busy. So they've been playing some football and playing some soccer. The boys have. But the girls have taken up something quite different. And I'm very proud of these girls, Brother James. I know nothing about art. But you can see these girls have really developed, I think, a very good gift that they have. I mean, I think that's wonderful. And so our girls have been doing some artwork this past year. This young lady, she has discovered her gift. Now, Brother James, she plays a bean banjo. We have children that are good athletes. We have other children that play musical instruments. This lady plays a banjo, but she likes to do woodworking. And she has taken carpentry apprenticeship, and she's going to be a carpenter, and she built that bench that she's sitting on, and she's very proud of that, and we are very proud of her. Now, we teach our kids independent living skills. What does that mean? We have the philosophy at Harvest that when a kid turns 18 years old, it's time to launch them. What do you mean launch them? It's time for that kid to go to work. It's time for that kid to go to school or go to military. We do not believe that kids 25 and 30 years old should still be living at home unless there's something providentially hindering them. So our goal at Harvest is to teach our kids how to cook. Ladies, aren't you glad you learned how to cook at home? Amen. We teach our kids how to cook. We teach our kids how to do laundry. We want our kids to be able to take care of themselves when we launch them out there in the real world. A part of that is we require our kids at the age of 16, we require them to take on part-time work. Now, these two young ladies both have their CNA certification, and the young lady on the right, she graduated last year. She's been working at a nursing home, and recently, well, about a year ago, she bought this car. And she is so proud of that car, but I got some bad news for you. About 3 months ago, she had a wreck and totaled this car completely out. She hit a concrete embankment over on the mountain over there in Virginia and just tore the car all to pieces. We helped her get another car. It had low miles on it, and the motor blowed up on that. Now, it sounds like that's just some bad luck, but you know what? That's the way life is sometimes. And our kids have to learn how to roll with the bad times as well as with the good. Now, we do require our kids to go to church every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night. We are a Free Will Baptist children's home under the Virginia State Association of Free Will Baptists, and so our kids go to church. This young man learned the Ten Commandments and the references to them, and so he was awarded on a Sunday morning. And this young lady's name is Mary, and the reason I can remember her name is my wife's name is Mary. Mary got saved on a Sunday morning there at Genesis Church, and I got to watch her follow the Lord in beautiful believer's baptism on a Sunday night, and so we're very proud of that. We are going to play a song for you now, and this song's entitled Faces. Many of you have not met our kids. You have prayed for us. You have supported us. And with all my heart, I believe when you get to heaven, you're going to see some of these faces. Brother Matthew, the one in the suit there, the tall boy, he is a graduate from Wells College. He's our associate pastor. And he works with our boys there in the boys' cottage, doing a good job. And we teach the kids how to make preserves. Birthdays are very special times for our kids, and we try to make those special days. We had an individual here in North Carolina that gave the kids some workout material, and they're trying to build some muscle.
For that was what
I should say, weightlifting equipment.
Would last,
and they can eat fried chicken, I promise you. They can eat. We're hoping to get a preacher boy out of this group, brother, but that's God's call, not ours.
To share that Jesus really cares.
The girl's dog name is Sophia, and they've got Sophia Spoil Rock.
If they just believe.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what we teach our kids from the Word of God.
Seldom did harvest come. So few did I see one.
They love those cats.
He showed me the faces of the ones who'd come because of me. So many faces that my life.
And kids will be kids. Whether they're your kids or our kids, they'll be kids. We got them stuck everywhere. Some stuck in a tree. And we have some that are stuck on the front of the bus.
He said, though you did not see.
And bicycles are very special gifts around Christmas time. This year our Christmas party was canceled because we had some staff members that were sick. And we had some kids that tested positive, but we worked through all that and everything's good. What is the seed that we planted harvest? The seed is the Word of God.
No matter how small.
Look at that, look.
Task, you did just as
learning
I
how to cook.
And, thanks to
and
you,
those boys and girls, they can eat some donuts now. You put a dozen donuts out, they're gone. Brother Newell's our director. He's been there since we started, 28 years ago. He's actually adopted a couple of the children and raised them himself.
Because of me, so many faces that my life had led to Calvary.
I love to see the smiles. Matthew graduated last year from college, and he's now going to be a police officer. Please pray for Matthew. Our senior year was very different this past year. Now, I love this frame right here. Look at those faces. When kids come to harvest, most of them are full of anger. The only adult they've ever known is someone who's either hurt them or hurt their mama or daddy or grandma or grandpa. And so when we see these smiles, we know that God is at work. And I want to say thank you for your giving. When you came in today, my wife gave you a newsletter. And on that newsletter, there's a white envelope. Did everybody get a newsletter? And if you would like to be on the mailing list, it won't cost you anything if you'll simply fill out the top part. And if you'll put your email address on there, Miss Martha sends out an email every week to give you an update of what's going on. At the bottom of the envelope, you as an individual can give a one-time gift. You can give a monthly gift. You can use your credit card or debit card. Simply put your 16-digit number on there. Make sure the security number on the back's on there. When you sign it and mail it in, the postage has been paid. I do want to tell you that we got an accreditation recently called the Eagle Accreditation. That means Educational Assessment Guidelines Leading Toward Excellence. It is the only faith-based accreditation program in the United States, and it recognizes health and human service organizations that go beyond the requirements of license to improve operational processes and outcomes while living out their values. So we're very proud that we have now been accredited. If you shop online, many of you do shop online, go to Amazon Smile, and in the right-hand corner, there's a little box that if you'll put Harvest Free Will Baptist Child Care Ministries, every quarter we'll receive a little part of that, and they won't charge you any more for what you're ordering. And then also, if you have $1,000 that you would like to give to Harvest, we will put a brick on our walkway of hope in honor or memory of whoever you might want to honor or remember. Also, if you're on Facebook, go to harvestccm.org, click the like button, and you'll get regular updates. This is my last frame. The governor of our state is not favorable toward Christian ministries, and our goal is to go total private placement and not take children from the DSS. So far, we've not been able to do that yet. We've been having a problem with staffing this year. You know, it's hard to find good help. You have to find qualified help. And but all of our kids are having to wear masks 24 hours a day. They're on campus, even though we're 30 miles from town. So we have a lot of requirements that we meet the state requirements. But anyway, our goal is to go private placement. Here's how you can help us. If you know of a child who's been abandoned, abused, neglected, a troubled child that needs a place, please give us a call, and we will talk to the parent or legal guardian, and we will give them instructions on how they can admit a child to Harvest Child Care Ministry. Brother, you want to come and take this and go to my next frame there? I think I need your help. All right. We're going to go into the preaching part of the service now. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Luke. We got it right here, don't we? So there we go. Thank you very much. All right. The title of the morning message is Don't Look Back. But before we read the scripture, I want to read a poem to you. And this poem was entitled, Don't Look Back. Listen very carefully. As you travel through life, there are always those times when decisions have to be made, when the choices are very hard and solutions are scarce, and the rain just seems to soak your parade. There are some situations where all you can do is simply let go and move on. Gather your courage together and choose a direction that will carry you toward a new dawn. Listen now. So pack up your troubles and take a step forward. The process of change is tough, but just think for a moment this morning about all the excitement that's ahead if you're stalwart enough. Why, perhaps you will go places that you never expected and see things you've never seen. Perhaps you will find warmth, affection, and caring, a special somebody special who's there to help you stay centered and listen with interest to stories and feelings that you share. But listen to this. Perhaps you will find comfort in knowing that your friends are supportive of all that you do and believe that whatever decisions you make, they will be the right decisions for you. So keep putting one foot in front of the other and taking life day by day. My friend, there is a brighter tomorrow, but let's don't look back. We ain't going that way. Now let's read from the passage of Scripture this morning, Luke chapter 9. You can remain seated. The Bible says in verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Brother James, I believe this person was very intent. He was telling the Lord, I am going to follow you wherever you go. I want you to notice how Jesus answered him in the next verse. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Now notice this verse 62 now. This is our text. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Lord, today I pray. I pray for this pastor and his dear family. And I pray for this church that we will stay focused on you. And I pray for this church that they will never look back at some things that we're going to talk about this morning. And I pray, Holy Ghost, today that you will speak to our hearts. I pray, Holy Ghost, that you will convict us today where we have sinned. I pray, Holy Ghost, you will enlighten our hearts and our minds of your word as it's being preached. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me, Lord, of anything in my life that you might use me. Lord, we want to bring glory and honor to your name. And I pray today that you will use this message, Lord, for your glory. And whatever's accomplished today, Lord, we give the glory all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. There are some things that we need to look back on. One of those is the day we got saved. You may not remember the exact day, and you may not even remember the exact place, but you all remember a time in your life when you were convicted by the Holy Ghost. Y'all's kind of quiet this morning. Do y'all remember when you got convicted? Let me share mine, Miss Molly. I was 15 years old. I had a crush on a little girl in high school, and she invited me to revival. And I went to revival, and I heard the preacher preach on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night. But on Wednesday night, now I was 15 years old. I had never drunk alcohol. I had not done anything immoral. I can't speak this morning, Brother James. Got an echo in here. But you know what? I was being raised in a Christian home. But that night, I felt ashamed of myself. I felt guilty. And Miss Molly, I got out of there, and I got home, and I laid in that bed, and I wallowed that bed, and I couldn't sleep. Aren't you glad for Holy Ghost conviction? And I promised the Lord, if he let me get back the next night to that revival, I'd get right. And the next night, when the preacher gave the invitation, I hit the altar. Oh, and Miss Casey, when I got up from that altar as a 15-year-old boy, I felt unashamed, I felt clean, and the guilt was gone, and I was a-hugging everybody. Do you remember that day? That's one thing you ought to never forget, is the day that you got saved. I'm going to give you five things real quickly now. Five things that we do not need to look back on. Number one, we do not need to look back at sins that have already been forgiven. You know what the devil does? The devil always wants to bring up our past. Last Christmas, I had been up to Illinois visiting my in-laws. And Mary was going to stay there and help her mom for a couple months like she's getting ready to do now. And I went down to Southern Illinois, Brother James, to visit some of my old buddies. Isn't it good to see some old friends? And I went by to see one of my old buddies that just retired from the United States Air Force. And I was in there talking to Kevin for a little while. He said, Carl, do you remember on July the 2nd, 1970s? And Brother James, I'm not going to tell you what I did. I was feeling real rebellious. I was 19 years old. Yes, I told you I got saved when I was 15, but we got to fight the devil. And at 19, I'd done something really stupid. And my buddy brought it up to me, and I said, I don't want to remember that. So I left his house, and I went down to the gas station, Olive Branch, to visit my other buddy. We hadn't talked for 30 minutes, and Bobby says, Carl, do you remember on July the 2nd, 19th? They remember the day, they remember the place, and they brought it up to me. That's the devil. What did Paul say about this? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, Paul says, know ye not, Paul was talking to the Corinthians. He says, know ye not, the unrighteous, in other words, the unsaved, shall not inherit eternal life, the kingdom of God. And then he said, listen to what Paul said. Paul said, be not deceived. And then he begins to name these sins. I'm going to name them for you. The Bible names them for you. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, that means having a relationship with somebody you're not married to, nor idolaters, putting anything before God, nor adulterers, that means being married and having a relationship with somebody you're not married to, nor effeminate, men ought to act like men, women ought to act like women, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, that's homosexuality, nor thieves, that means taking something that's not yours, nor covetous. Oh man, I could talk about covetous all day. Man, I'll just go on with that. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul didn't stop there, Brother James. He said, and such were some of you. Boy, he was a bold free will Baptist, wasn't he? He pointed his finger to the Corinthian church. He said, and such were some of you, but he didn't stop there. But now you are washed. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. There was a man one time who went to his preacher, and he told his preacher, he said, you know what? I'm having a problem with guilt. He said, the preacher said, well, have you asked the Lord to forgive you? He said, preacher, I have asked the Lord 100 times to forgive me. The preacher said, go back now and thank the Lord 100 times that you've been forgiven. See, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. Sometimes we are always looking backward instead of looking forward, and we're looking back at those past sins that cause us to be guilty and cause us not to be productive. So, Christian, this morning, don't look back at sins already forgiven. Because guess what? God don't hold them against you no more. Number two, I'm trying to hurry. Number two, do not look back at defeats in your life that will get you down. Defeats. You say, what do you mean defeats? Well, I pastored for 30 years. And I can tell you right now, I can tell you some good times in ministry, and I can tell you some bad times in ministry. The psalmist David said in Psalms 37, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The one who has never been defeated is someone who's never done anything. If you do anything for the Lord, you are a target of the devil, and the devil is going to fight you if you decide, I'm going to work with the young people. If you decide, I'm going to lead the choir. If you decide, I'm going to be a piano player. If you decide, God's called me to preach. I promise you, from the day one that you submit and obey the Lord to do God's will, Satan is coming after you to fight you all the way. It should not be a surprise the way the devil fights us, but we don't have to be defeated, folks. And along the way, there'll be some defeats, but we can't look back on those defeats because they won't help us. Number three, I'm trying to hurry. Don't look back on the past being better than today. Now, Brother James, you're a young preacher, so you can say this is not for... Mary and I go into a lot of churches. And there's young preachers in some churches, there's old preachers. Now, what's old? Old somebody about 20 years older than you. That's what old means, okay? I'm 64 years old. So if I go into a church and there's an 84-year-old preacher, he might say something like this. Brother Carl, you should have been here back in the late 70s or early 80s. We used to have a month revival. We used to have camp meetings. I've seen this altar full. I've seen this church packed out. I've seen chairs. You know what? All that's fine and good, but we can't live in the past. Get an amen? In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he said, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Do you remember Israel? Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage. Remember that, Brother James? Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage, and yet they looked back and thought it would have been better back in Egypt than even after God had delivered them. Oh my, I'm going to tell you something right now. We've got to have a vision, and we've got to look forward. You remember David? David was a man after God's own heart. But one thing we don't forget David's sin. But God still used David. You remember Peter? Oh, loudmouth Peter. I'm kind of a Peter. I've got that personality, boisterous. And you know what? Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. And you remember what happened? When that old rooster crowed, what did Peter do? He went out and wept. Because he realized what he said he wasn't going to do, that's what he did. And sometimes we as Christians will say, I'll never do nothing like that. You won't ever catch me doing that. And guess what? It might be a few years later or a few weeks later or maybe a day later, we might be found doing the very thing that we said we weren't going to do. But we can't look back. Number four. This is going to really step on toes now, Brother James, so hang on. Don't look back at old conflicts that make you bitter. Oh, surely you've never been through any conflict. Well, I share this everywhere I go, Brother James, and I'm not ashamed of it. The last church where I pastored, they voted me out. I have never been voted out of a church in my life but once. And they told me, I'm just quoting what they told me, they voted me out because I preached too loud and I kept the old people awake. That's what they told me. And you know what I told them? I didn't know old people were supposed to be sleeping in the church. And I preached with the same volume I do now that I did the first day I came. But you know what? I began to get bitter. And I began to get, let me just say it like this. If you pick at a sore, it ain't never going to heal. Scars are a sign of healing. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says it like this. Here's what Peter said. He said, wherefore lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. Now that's a heap of words, Brother James. And I looked those words up. The word malice means vicious. It means bad in quality. Have you ever known somebody that you just couldn't find anything good about? They just seem to be bad to the bone. I want to share one. I had a dog named Doc. He was a black and tan coon dog that I had growing up. And there was a neighbor down the road named Zeke Smith. And Zeke Smith was an alcoholic, and he beat his wife, and he beat his kids. And his wife left him, and his kids left him, and he was a loudmouth. And I looked up one day, Brother James, and there's my dog down on the side of the road, and I hollered, Doc! And Doc turned around and looked at me, and here comes Mr. Smith, and he goes across the road and hits my dog and kills him as dead as 4 o'clock. And I told my mother, I said, I hate that man. And my mother said, Carl, hate is a very strong word. If you look close enough, you can find good in anybody. And can I tell you something? I looked long and hard trying to find something good about the man that killed my dog. The word guile means deceitful. It means baiting some. Have you ever had somebody, Brother Jake, don't answer this question. Have you ever had somebody to come and ask you a bunch of questions and you knew they were just baiting you for something? It happens in the church sometimes. The word hypocrisy means pretense or play acting. But now here's a word right here that I'm guilty of. It says envy. I looked that word up, the word envy. It is the feeling of displeasure when you hear or witness the advantage or prosperity of another. I had a preacher friend of mine not long ago. I won't mention his name. Many of you probably know him. He said, Brother Carl, I'm going to get out of debt. I said, good. So I prayed for him, and I want every preacher to be out of debt. Brother James, if you're in debt, I hope you can get out. I pray you can. Me and Mary's out of debt. And I'm happy for that. But I looked up one day, and this preacher come driving into church. He had a 2020 Silverado, all the chrome. I mean, probably a $50,000 or $60,000 bill. You know what the first thing I thought, Brother James? I thought he wanted to get out of debt. Next thought come to my mind was, what is he doing with that? And the third thought was, I like this one. I'm glad it's his debt, not mine. Now listen to me very carefully. Sometimes when we hear of a church up the road that's running 200, or we hear of a revival or camp meeting somewhere where 30 people were saved. And then we look at our church and say, well, we've only had 10 people saved the last year. We've only had 5 people come in. You know what? If we're not careful, we will begin to envy and we'll be looking at somebody else's program. You know what I said when I was pastoring Brother James? I'm preaching now. I told the church where I pastored, I don't care what the church down the road's doing. I don't care what the church up the road's doing. I don't care what anybody's doing. What does God want us to do? And stay with me now. If we're not careful as we go through life, we will look back on those old conflicts. And you know what they'll do? They'll make you bitter. And your heart cannot be right with God when it is full of bitterness. Number five, I've got to hurry. Don't dwell on past victories. Because you know what they'll do? They will make you think that you have derived and it can never be that good again. You may feel satisfied and not have, you know what every church needs? Every church needs to have a vision. There's no doubt in my mind you got a young preacher, and no doubt in my mind he's got vision. The question is, are you on board with the vision that God has given to the man of God who is the leader of your church? He didn't tell me to say that. I just throw it in for good measure. Now, in conclusion, you say, well, Brother Carl, you've given us five things not to look back on and one to look back on. I'm going to give you one more and I'm done. Don't look back at sins already forgiven. Don't look back at defeats that will get you down. Don't look back at the past being better than today. Don't look back at old conflicts. And don't look back at past. You said, what am I supposed to look on? I'm glad you asked. When I was in Bible college, at Free Will Baptist Bible College, it's now called Welch, I had some professors my freshman year that they challenged us to look for a Bible verse that we could call our life verse, our anchor verse. Have y'all got one of those verses that is special to you and you just anchored your soul to that verse? My whole freshman year at Bible college, I had to go through Old Testament survey and New Testament survey and read completely through the Bible. And as I was reading through the Bible, I was looking for this special verse. Brother James, I thought about going over and just opening up the Bible and putting my finger down on the verse. There's my verse, but it might have said Jesus wept. But no, I kept praying. And one day I was reading in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and that verse just jumped right off the page, so to speak. And God says, here's your verse. Here's what it says. Looking unto Jesus. Woo! Stay with me now. Looking unto Jesus. You see, if we're not looking unto Jesus, when your friend comes by and reminds you of your past, when you have those defeats, when you have that bitterness, guess what you'll do? You'll get distracted from doing what God wants you to do. But the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author, that means he is the originator, and the finisher means he is the completer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm glad this morning that when I keep my focus on the Lord, whether I get voted out of the church, you know what the best thing happened to me when I got voted out of that church? You know what my wife said? Carl, if that church hadn't have voted you out, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. Can I tell you something, Brother James? I love doing what I do now better than pastoring. I do. I'm 64 years old, and I get to go to the mountains. I get to go to the beach, and everywhere in between. Mary and I have been, this is our seventh year traveling for Harvest. Miss Molly, you're down in Uruguay. Me and Miss Mary, we are all over the state of North Carolina. You name a town in North Carolina, and I can pretty much say, yep, know where it's at. We got some wonderful, wonderful people here in North Carolina. We have some wonderful, wonderful pastors here in North Carolina. We've got some wonderful, wonderful churches here in North Carolina. Guess what? The reason I say that is this. There are some states, I won't name any this morning because I won't get in trouble. There are some states that are not as mission-minded, Miss Molly, as North Carolina. And I believe you probably know that. We have relatively small churches here in North Carolina. But can I tell you something, Brother James? Of our $1.1 million budget a year, over one-third of our budget is provided out of this great state of North Carolina. You all have fallen in love with Harvest, not because of me, because of James and Linda Stepps. James and Linda Stepp started traveling back in 1999, and this church started giving in 2002, and guess what? Because of past people that had a heart to do this ministry, Mary and I, we have come along and just fallen into that track, and guess what? You have accepted me and Mary. You have brought us into your churches, and Brother James, thank you as a young pastor for letting us come. And thank you for having a heart for our ministry. And thank you for taking care of kids who cannot take care of themselves. Let's pray. Lord, today I'm so grateful that back there in 1972, I accepted you as my Lord and Savior. But Lord, I'm also grateful, Lord, that in 1984, you called me to preach. And Lord, it hadn't been easy. And pastoring a church is getting harder and harder and harder. And I pray for this church today. I pray for the ministry of this church today. And I pray that you will work in the hearts of every man, woman, boy, or girl in this church. That this church can move forward and keep their vision and keep their focus, Lord, upon you so that you can work through this church to help ministries like Harvest. Thank you again, Lord, for letting us be here. And Lord, whatever the need is, we're going to turn this service over to the pastor. And we pray, Holy Ghost, that you'll have your will and way. In Jesus' name, amen.